And it's time here on KDSJ to have our monthly conversation and interview with the president of Black Hills State University in Spearfish. Lori Nichols joins us right here on KDSJ, and thanks so much, Lori, for the time once again.
You're so welcome.
And, of course, we're going to be talking about the response that Black Hills State has had to COVID-19. But first of all, I want to say thank you so much for taking some time and joining us to help spread the word about the great things that Black Hills State is doing. I know you'd rather be hanging out with the faculty and staff and enjoying the students there on campus, but we're all in this together, aren't we?
That's exactly right. We are. It's a very different time for us right now, but it is for everybody.
And, of course, it goes with the leadership there at Black Hills State, and over the past couple weeks making some tough decisions. It's going to have financial impacts as well as the students, but hopefully the education can continue online. And as we all grapple with some changes to our daily lives with COVID-19 and the coronavirus outbreak, how has Black Hills State responded in these uncertain times?
Yeah, it's been a day-by-day process, and it truly is crisis management, because every day we're making yet new and different decisions. But really, we began during spring break week, when this the situation with the COVID-19 virus was really changing. And at that point, we immediately extended spring break 1 week. So instead of a one-week spring break, we actually had a two-week spring break. And part of the reason for that was just to extend time for us so that we had time to make decisions. And the other part was to help our faculty get their courses online. You know, typically faculty may take all summer, for example, to get a course online, and we were giving them essentially a week or two to do it. So it was a very accelerated timeline. Classes resumed on March 23rd, but when we resumed in an online format, and we asked for students to take their courses online for 2 weeks from March 23rd through April 3rd. And we were hoping back then, you know, this is several weeks ago now, that we may be able to bring students back on campus by about April 5th. But as we all know, our world continued to spiral down in terms of the virus outbreak. And so earlier this week, we made the decision that we would leave students online for the rest of the semester. So instead of a two-week period, we have extended it now, and students will take online courses the rest of the semester and finish out their semester online, which is scheduled for May 8th. Of maybe 60 or 70 employees that are working on campus, but then we have a large number that are able to work from home, and in any case where they can, we try to encourage that as well. So our working situation has changed as well. And then probably the last piece of it is, because we did go to an online environment, we are now moving students out of the residence halls. And we have about 800 to 850 students in the halls. So over the next couple of weeks, we will work with moving those students out. And we are issuing a partial refund to students this semester for residence halls and also for dining for their meal plan as well.
And, of course, cleaning the facilities and to shut them down, and residence halls and dining services. Let's go back to the online learning. With this day of age, it can be pretty easy. What are some of the benefits to having these classes online and finishing off the semester that way?
Well, probably the main benefit of doing it online is just that we can keep students progressing in the semester, and we can have them successfully complete this semester, you know, complete the courses they're registered for and complete the semester. You know, I suppose the alternative would be we would just literally stop the semester and they would have to, you know, continue classes in the fall. And we did not want to do that. I think it's important students can continue to make progress in their program. So I think that's the main thing. But quite honestly, the online world has come so far that many people consider it to be equally as good as face-to-face instruction. Some people would probably even tell you they'd like it better. So the technology has allowed us to do so much in online today that I really don't think that the quality of the instruction suffers.
Maybe some of the challenges have to be with the professors and the faculty trying to get this stuff online in such a quick amount of time. Also, if you're a student, it might be a little bit more difficult to, of course, talk to your faculty or your teacher or have communication with other students. What's maybe one or two other disadvantages of having it online?
You know, I think you're exactly right, that probably one of the greatest challenges was just a very, very quick timeline. And as I said, usually we will spend quite a bit of time with a faculty member in developing their courses online, and they'll have assistance from an instructional designer on campus who can work with them. And because it was so accelerated, to a large extent, we were not able to do that, or not able to do it as much, perhaps, as we would have. So I think just the timeline really caused for us to move it quickly into that environment. And so I think those are probably the biggest obstacles we're facing. You're right in that the communication, you just have to work at it a little bit harder and you have to do it a little differently.
And remember to always save your stuff. As we hear from Nichols, the president over at Blank Hill State University, universities are always known for being innovative and on the cutting edge. In what ways is BHSU adapting academics and online learning due to COVID-19?
You know, a couple of examples, there have been quite a few things we've had to cancel, and sadly, I hate to do that, because typically spring semester, and especially now from mid-March until May, is absolutely the busiest time on campus, because we do have so many events going on and so many programs and so forth. But some have had to be canceled. But one that is going on that I think is great is that our Black Hills Research Symposium. So this is our undergraduate student research symposium that we hold every year. This is our 22nd annual. It was scheduled, of course, in a face-to-face format with a keynote speaker and so forth coming in. Well, that's not going to happen. So instead, on March 18th and 19th, they are really moving the research symposium completely to an online world as well. And students will be able to showcase their research and their scholarly work, but it is going to be on Facebook. So there'll be a Black Hills Research Symposium Facebook page, and on that there'll be a number of videos posted where students are presenting their research. And you can come and go throughout the day, so you can, you know, log in, listen to a couple students, and then come back later if you want to. But it truly will go throughout the whole day, so there'll be a number of students who will be on Facebook and presenting their research. And then on April 9th, just 2 days later, the keynote speaker is still going to give the keynote, but we'll be giving it again on Facebook in a videotape format. So I was really proud of that group, because in a very short time, they went from a big face-to-face venue to a very creative Facebook online environment, and they're going to keep the research symposium going. So I applaud that group of faculty. And then we have a music professor, Dr. David Berberick, who's assistant professor of music, and he's working right now to create a combined performance this semester using a technology called BandLab, which is an online collaborative recording platform, so that students can play into an online mixer, combine their parts into a whole project, and then that whole project will be produced for people to hear as well. So those students won't be in the same room, they won't be playing like they are in a typical orchestra or band, but yet at the end of the day, it'll come together and sound much like that.
Wow.
And then finally, the last thing I'd say is on Monday, we are going to hold our monthly town hall meeting, and we're going to do it on Zoom. And we can have up to 300 people on Zoom. So we feel like we can accommodate really almost anybody who would want to join our town hall.
How is communicating with students that want to stay on campus during this time?
Well, we're doing daily communications to students, and they're on different topics. So there's a lot of different areas we're talking to them about learning online. So that is one of the topics. We're also talking to them about registration, because we're in the midst of that, and a lot of other topics that have come up as well. But every day we have a different topic and we're communicating out to students. And then in the residence halls, we do still have maybe roughly about 100 students in the residence halls with us. And they are doing, they do small group gatherings. They do try to keep the numbers to 10 or less. I know our athletic department has just done a tremendous job. Each of the coaches have been doing live chats with their student athletes. And there's been quite an effort amongst various groups of people outside of our faculty who are teaching classes, but just other groups to keep students connected. Even at a time when we're not having, you know, sports practices and we're not having competitions, and obviously we're not going to have any of our concerts that were scheduled this spring. So we're doing other ways to keep those groups connected.
How is Blank Hill State thinking about recruiting students for maybe summer classes or next fall?
Well, we are doing it virtually, no surprise. So instead of students coming on campus for either individual visits or maybe our Saturday visit program that we have, we're doing more virtual options where we're using social media to a large extent to reach out to high school students and their families. We are offering virtual admission visits. We're offering virtual tours of campus. We're using Zoom, FaceTime, Google Hangout, Skype. All kinds of different technologies are being used to try to keep students very connected, let them have, you know, let them see the campus to the extent we can, and then have their questions answered and make sure they are getting their applications in and their FAFSA filled out and so forth. Certainly social media will remain an important tool to us as we keep engaging with students and work on that incoming freshman class.
And it is where anything is possible over there at Black Hill State, as the minds have come together from the students to the faculty to the leadership in all the different departments. And again, you can find out more information on the current courses to what's coming up this summer and next fall. Go to bhsu.edu, click on admissions, or click on the COVID-19 link to find out the different ways that BHSU is helping out. And right there in the Spearfish community, thanks once again, President Nichols, for the time here on KDSJ. And again, like I said before, we're all in this together.
Yes, thank you. And we certainly are. You stay safe and healthy.